Ezekiel Elliott, and he's got an opening. Elliott, off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a 3-0 win at Sylvester for three. Oh! Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Rapp with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner crossed the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown! Michael Jenkins on 4th and 1. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with 1.5 minutes left. Holy Buckeye!
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty!
All right, everyone. Hello and welcome back to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan here with Big Cass, and we have a huge guest this week. But before I get into that, we have the shameless ad plug. And, you know, this podcast is brought to you by Say It, Wear It, Tees. Go get yourself a Bunch of Nuts t-shirt, red or black. Follow them on their Etsy shop. That is Say It, Wear It, Tees. But huge guest this week, we have Joey Lane, leader of the Towel Gang. Former Ohio State captain and the Lane in the Drive the Lane podcast. Joey, it is great to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Really appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks for the incredible introduction. Yes, I am the Lane in Drive the Lane. That's quite a way of putting it. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great podcast. If anyone is loves Ohio State basketball, it is a wonderful podcast. You and the Zolan do an awesome job, but I mean, I got asked. I've been waiting to ask this question all week. When it comes to, you know, being a walk-on, are you guys aware that if you guys score 80 points, the fans get the Big Mac?
You know, I think this is leading somewhere. I was well aware that we got fries and Big Mac, based on how many points we scored, because my family members who went to games were typically give those to me that I could have meals for the whole week and stuff. So I didn't have a lot of Big Macs, but I did have some from that. I definitely used them. If not, I gave them to my sister who also went to school with me. So they got used. But yeah, I was, to answer your question shortly, I was aware.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's really important that you guys realize that, because it keeps us college kids fed. It really does.
Did you guys on the bench ever egg that on, like if it's, even if it's a close game, like maybe like you're like a 76 points where you're like, come on, we gotta get these kids Big Macs. Did you guys ever talk about that on the bench?
No, I wish I could say yeah we did, but no, we didn't. I think the only time that really happened is like if we were close to 100, even though that didn't mean anything, we just didn't want to get. I couldn't tell you how many times we scored 100. It was probably once, but that, I think, was something that we would care about. And now as a fan, like, I went to a Mavericks game, and if they missed two free throws, the opposing team, in the fourth quarter, you get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. So, like, I was up and getting loud so that could happen. So I totally get it now. I didn't quite get it before, but now I definitely do.
Absolutely. So I ask all of our guests this, you know, as being a lifelong Buckeye fan, like, for 32 years. I'm 32 years old, 32-year-old fan. What does it mean to be a Buckeye? And this is a two-part question. What does it mean to be a Buckeye? And playing for Holpen and Mata, what was the difference and the similarities?
Yeah, that is quite the two-part question. A two-part question that I could talk about for hours on end, probably. But to me, being a Buckeye is You know, it's rooted in tradition, and that tradition is based solely on excellence of so many people that have come before you. When I think about what it means to be, you know, at Florida State, you know, student, alumni, athlete, it's all the same. You're good and you're honoring the people that went before you. For me, it was, you know, yeah, I loved Aaron Kraft and John Deaver and Evan Turner and, you know, and the list goes on and on. I love those guys, but I had so many family members that were Buckeyes and that are also alumni. So that meant a lot to me to be, you know, in the same group as them. And I think the overall theme of being a Buckeye is the tradition that comes with it. And then, you know, a tradition of winning and a tradition of excellence that doesn't matter if you're a student, if you're an athlete, if you're a teacher, it doesn't matter. Excellence is something that is, you know, it goes hand in hand with being a Buckeye. And then, you know, to answer your second question, Holman and Mona, I think the I'm lucky to say that I got half my college, you know, 2 years and 2 years with two of the best coaches that I've ever coached at Ohio State. But when it's all said and done, I think that'll be the case. But at first, you know, it was kind of ironic. Obviously, Coach Mona was the guy that gave me an opportunity to play at my dream school, to live out my dream. And, you know, Holman coming in, I'm a very positive guy, so I'm hoping for the best. But, you know, you guys understand, there's a lot of uncertainties that come with the new coach, especially when we were losing half the team. Yeah, the similarities are, there are a lot of similarities. They both care a lot about their guys. They both coach in the same way. They're very even keeled. They don't blow up and get really mad at someone unless they really have to. But they also don't get very negative either. They're never too hot, never too cold. They're always very even keeled. In terms of literal basketball coaching styles, they both have Butler backgrounds where, you know, we played basically pack line defense and we worked a lot on our defense and not as much on our offense. They both delegated the same way where, like, we had an offensive coach, we had a defensive coach, we had a guy doing scouting and working on the other team and the personnel on the other team. You know, I think that in terms of differences, I think that, you know, I saw Coach Mata at the tail end of his career versus Holman at the beginning. So I think that if you ask any coach at the beginning of their career or at the end, there's going to be a lot of differences, whether that's, you know, energy, attention to detail. I'm not saying that those fall into place for these guys, but the differences that I saw were, you know, maybe a little bit off the court, just because it just so happened that I was, you know, a junior, senior leader with Holman, but I wasn't with Coach Mata. So I had way more conversations with Holman and his staff because they needed my input, and I was, you know, one of the leaders on the team, like I said before. And with Coach Mata, you know, it was more of when we're off the court, we're joking around, he's asking me whatever he's asking me about. So two coaches that, I mean, were incredible, and obviously that goes without saying, but it is crazy how similar they operate as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is very surprising that they are that similar when you kind of look at it like that. I would have kind of figured that would be way different, but that is kind of some great points you brought up there. Now, obviously, playing in the Big Ten, Joey, you got to see some, you know, amazing, you know, arenas. What was your favorite place to play at in the Big Ten? And then this is also a two-parter. What are your general thoughts on the shot?
Yeah, so my favorite place to play at. We've talked about this on my podcast. There are definitely tiers in terms of arenas in the Big Ten. I forget. Did you ask in the Big Ten or anywhere?
It could honestly be anywhere. I'm just curious.
My Big Ten answer, I can't be consistent. I say Mackey Arena, just because the atmosphere is a stereotypical college atmosphere. You know, it's not 20,000, it's 10,000. And they're all on top of you, and they have the entire game. And it also happens that my best, you know, possibly my best Ohio State memory happened in Mackey Arena also. So Mackey's my number one. The Breslin Center, Michigan State, that's a very close second. I think Nebraska gets it's so underrated there. I think they're called, like, you know, Century Link or something like that.
Really?
They're so underrated, their stadium and atmosphere. Obviously, the Indiana Assembly Hall is great. We had too many games where the students were on break themselves, and too many games where Indiana was, you know, ranked in the top 25 or competing for the Big Ten championship, so it wasn't all, you know, all of its glory. I mean, Illinois is a very underrated place. We only went there twice, though. I love Northwestern because that's home for me, so it's really fun to go back there and go to the place where I was, you know, I played growing up. I'm listing every Big Ten arena.
You are.
Something special about it, except for Penn State, really. I mean, I could go on and on and on about the Big Ten arenas, but my number one is Mackey. If we're going outside of the Big Ten, Virginia's, I think it's called like John Paul Jones or something. That place was the loudest single moment I've ever had in college basketball, and it was a really cool atmosphere to be there with the and stuff. I've been to the Dean Smith, the Dean Dome, and that place is incredible, but I didn't play there. And then the Homer picks is, you know, the United Center and Madison Square Garden, just because of the history that comes with those and the playing in the NBA arena is every kid's dream. So those two places are pretty awesome. But I actually got to play when we played in the United Center. So growing up a Bolt fan, you can imagine that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because you're from Illinois, so running out there in the United Center is probably a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, for me, when you guys came to Madison Square Garden for the Big Ten tournament a couple years ago, I'm from New York, that New Jersey area right there. So that was awesome watching you guys. But even though, you know, freaking Carr was a god that year against Ohio State. And, you know, I
was at that Penn State game in 18, and, you know, 2 seconds left, you know, Kata makes that top of the key 3-pointer. We're all cheering. And as soon as we turn around, Tony Carr just took the gut out of the whole arena. You know, that's not one of my fond moments that I've been to State games. I've been to some great games too. So I love the shot, you know, but I also love St. John Arena. One of these days I'm going to witness a basketball game there.
Yeah, I think you'll have plenty of opportunities. I think that'll be a mainstay going forward. I know you guys asked me about the shot, and I love the shot. It's our home arena. Is it the best arena in the Big Ten? No chance. And anyone who's smart knows that. And that's not, you know, anyone's fault necessarily. Do we have some of the greatest fans in the Big Ten? Absolutely. No doubt about it. But the fact of the matter is the shot wasn't built like some of these other places were built to be super, super loud.
No.
You know?
It's an NBA arena.
NBA arena. Even when you go watch, you know, the Lakers play, that's an NBA arena. It doesn't get super, super loud. It's just not how it works. You know, it's just massive, and it's obviously like the size of stadiums like Purdue, for example. It's going to be harder to fill up and stuff. But when it is loud, oh boy, it is so loud. And my second 2 years, the last 2 years, I mean, the difference between my first 2 and second 2 years in terms of the shot atmosphere is literally night and day. And I think the Johnson Center is well on its way, and that includes the Buckeye Nut House. It's well on its way to turning into not only one of the hardest places to play in the Big Ten, but also, you know, having some of the loudest fans and best atmosphere. So the trajectory is unbelievable right now. It's hard because it's a concert venue, you know. It's just so massive, and that's all right. Like, we're Ohio State, like, we can pull it up, and we've proven we can. It just is a little harder to, you know. It's not a college basketball atmosphere. That's just the truth of the matter, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love it, and I have the greatest experiences ever. But you guys get where I'm coming from in that sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'll defend the shot. I think it's definitely more friendly to the adult crowd than the student crowd, in my opinion. Because, like, this year, I'm obviously out of college. I'm 25. But this year, I was able to bring, you know, three of my friends to the games for $10 combined. Because, you know, I mean, the tickets are so cheap and it's so big. And it was awesome. We went to the Penn State game. And it was a great, obviously, probably the best game to go to this year because we dropped 100. But I think the shot has its perks. I think, you know, in more of like a corporate setting, I think it's more of a better arena, but it is definitely, like you said, kind of big and not intimate like some of these other arenas.
Right, absolutely.
And I think, too, what kind of hurts the shot, if you look at, you know, the Breslin Center, of course I've seen a lot of Michigan State games in my past, you know, because Ohio State, I feel like, you know, back in the Thod Monda days with Kraft and all them, it was Ohio State and Michigan State running this conference, in my opinion. If you watch the highlights of the Matt Sylvester 3, the students were kind of, you go from the behind the court, and they were wrapped, you know, wrapped around the bench again, like they are now, and they were wrapped from behind the court, behind the basket, to the other behind the basket, kind of like Breslin is. I think Ohio State should go back to that.
Yeah, I don't know. They want. I was told when I got there, because I asked a lot of questions about it. First of all, why aren't the students coming, and why do they have to pay so much to come? It makes zero sense when no one else does that. But eventually, that stuff kind of changed a little bit. But I wondered why it was set up the way it was, and they wanted it to be like how Duke is set up, where they're on the sidelines where they can be tempting the guys and throwing it in, but they're on the wrong side to do that, and they don't have to court, so it doesn't matter. I don't understand. I would much rather it be like a Maryland set up. Maryland, because they have probably one of the best arenas also. But the way that they're set up, where they have students across the opposite side of the bench, across the whole sideline, and then they have a whole dedicated, you know, students like section behind the basket. It's literally perfect. They have the perfect setup, and it's free to go to games, so they sell them every game. So, I mean, that's the way you got to do it. But they're all for basketball school, so it's, you know, it's a little different.
So we're going to switch little gears here. Talk about the rival. Does the basketball team hate that team up north as much as the football? And how much hell did you give Dockett? How much hell did you guys give Dockett when he first transferred from that team up north?
Yeah, I think the way we kind of go about it is obviously you want to win every game. Does it mean a little bit more? Yeah. Is it a rival? No. I mean, yes, but no, because you play so many games. It's not like, you know, you're preparing all year for one game against them. Like, we can play them up to three times a year, you know? So, obviously, it means more. It definitely does. Do we take more, like, you know, do we take more pride in beating them or Michigan State? I think it's Michigan State or even Indiana. You know, some of those teams that we have battled with all the time, like you kind of said, like, you know, it used to be Michigan State every year. You know, so, I mean, like, even Wisconsin, like, there's a lot of teams that we want to beat really, really bad. Michigan's definitely one of them. And no doubt, it's the rivalry. Like, but it's not, you're not going to see guys fighting each other like football. We are trained to kill them, you know? It's not the same. It's not, because Holman would always say, we understand it's not the same as football, but it's absolutely there. And then in terms of Dockett, I still give him shit. So, sorry if I can't swear.
That's, you know, you're good.
I still, you know, bust his chops about it, and we definitely, you know, it really is a credit to Deshaun Tate, Kate Burkina, myself, Cam Williams, the older guy, CJ, who when he came in, we could have just put him on an island and zoned him out, because he really was coming out of nowhere. We didn't ask for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But credit to us for really, you know, bringing him in with open arms. We loved the guy from day one. We really did. We were part of the team from day one. And it helped because he took the sport really well, and he pushed it back out also. So it was great. He's a good sport about it. But he knows, like the other day, Duncan Robinson tweeted something about Michigan basketball, Michigan versus Ohio State, something like that. And I tweeted Dockett, said, "Where you at, man? You got to back up Ohio State now. Like, what are you doing?" You know. So it's funny. It's funny seeing, because I've actually become buddies with Duncan through Dockett's mom.
That's awesome.
They were really good friends back in Michigan, so we have a friendly world between us, and then Dockett is right at the home of that.
That's awesome. All right, Joey, I have a fill-in-the-sentence question for you here.
Sure.
The real Hoopers at Ohio State play at blank.
The real Hoopers play at J.O. South.
J.O. Incorrect. J.O. North.
Sorry, I lived on South Campus. All the athletes live on South Campus. That's where the athlete dorms are.
Oh, it kills me. They got to play at J.O. North. J.O. North's where the best games are, I'm telling you.
I never played at J.O. North. I played at J.O. South my freshman and sophomore year, and then my junior and senior year when I was on campus. The only time, and I was also old and tired, the only times I really played was if my roommates wanted to go to the RPAC. But I didn't play nearly as much. I probably didn't play, honest to God, I probably didn't play pickup once the season started my senior year until I left campus. So I was like, I'm putting all my effort into graduating and basketball, and the only other thing I'll do is take naps and eat.
So, speaking of pickup basketball games, did you play with anybody other than someone that was in the basketball program, like any of the athletic programs? Did you play?
Yeah, there were a couple times where I played pickup with some of my buddies on the football team. They're me, Drew, Christian, Lee McCool, and Sean Nuremberg. We used to go a couple times together. And then we'd pick up a pick from, you know, from whoever was out there. They would bring someone, or I think Blake Hogwood was up there. I would play with them a little bit. There were a couple times where I went, and some more high profile football guys were playing. There was times where I went and Gary Ankali was on the court with us. It really was a lot of different guys. Paris Campbell played a couple times. I'm trying to think of who else was like notable. A lot of guys. Almost seriously, there were things you would play with help, and you would think that it was an opportunity to work out for the football team because it was just football guys there. And a lot of those guys were really, really good. Like Malik Hooker was really, really, really good.
Yeah, I've heard stories about Malik Hooker. I mean, I've heard stories that, honestly, if like he wanted to play D1, he could have at basketball.
Yeah, he would be really, really good. Really good.
Now, I guess kind of another question is, this is a hypothetical. I want you to kind of think this through. So, you in your prime versus another famous Ohio State walk-on, Mark Titus, one-on-one, who wins?
The answer is me. I think Mark would agree also. Mark was a great basketball player, don't get me wrong, but I think that, I don't know. I shouldn't say I took him seriously because I didn't. We both worked really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I got a little more shit to my game than he did, you know? He was a really good player, though. But of course I'm going to say me. I don't think Mark would agree either. I don't know why I said that.
I would agree, too, because I think you're a much better shooter than he is.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
And a lot of people gave him crap. I think it was him going into his senior year where he put himself in the NBA draft conversation. And I remember a lot of people giving him crap about that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why people were giving him crap about it. I mean, if I did it, I probably wouldn't have done it because, you know, like, I drew the line that if I was distracting to my teammates and my coaches, that's kind of where I drew the line in terms of having fun, making fun of myself, and all that stuff. I probably wouldn't have done that because, you know, like I said before, but at the same time, like, is he hurting anyone? No, he's not. So, but it's funny. That's Mark. I mean, like, he that's how he rolls, and he morphed himself into who he is today because of how he acted in college. So you can't blame the guy, you know?
No, you can't. So switching gears to the other basketball program, Kelsey Mitchell, thoughts on her, and would you ever play one-on-one with her?
Yeah, Kelsey is incredible. Great, great person, first of all. One of the nicest people I've met at Ohio State. We would always catch up all the time whenever we saw each other. She's always saying hi, very, very friendly. She's awesome. In terms of basketball, obviously she's incredible. She would play pickup with us a little bit. Never played one-on-one with her, but I did. My sophomore year, I did beat her in the contest in the blacktop in the three-point contest. So that's kind of my claim to fame in terms of me versus Kelsey in basketball.
That's right. I remember that, actually, now you bring that up.
Yeah, that was fun. I hope that someday we do kind of a Midnight Madness thing. I think we will soon. But it's funny because Kelsey, I actually play on the Team USA Olympic practice team for the women. And obviously, that was when the Olympics was going to be happening. No, it's not, but that was earlier, you know, a couple months ago. And Kelsey was supposed to be on that team, but she actually got cut like the weekend before I was supposed to play with them. So I kind of got my opportunity to finally get back on the floor with her. But yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the younger people got cut. So. But she's incredible. She, all things considered, is probably the best player that I, you know, watched at Ohio State in my 4 years.
Oh, absolutely. She's one of the best I've seen in a long time. And, you know, I had women's basketball season tickets that year, and it was just watching her break that scoring title was awesome.
Yeah, no, she's incredible.
Kind of switching gears here. Obviously, there's been a lot of turnover with the team. You know, people transferring, guys going to the NBA. But I guess kind of regarding height for the team next year, obviously Caleb Weston's most likely not coming back. He obviously could come back if he wanted. Do you think, you know, height's going to be an issue if we just have Kyle Young as our primary center? And that's not a knock on Kyle. It's just, do you see that being an issue in the Big Ten?
I mean, the way you're framing the question, yeah, height will be an issue because we won't be tall, but that doesn't matter. You know, Kyle plays way bigger than 6'7". EJ LeBron plays way bigger than 6'6". You know, I think Zed will be able to play and contribute right away. I mean, like, is it an issue? I don't think so. I mean, like, we have at least, you know, a rotation of, and Ibrahim and Diallo, I mean, we have a rotation of four guys that are capable and three of them that are elite now in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, like, depth could be an issue for sure. I don't think it will be. I mean, Herman is our best lineup my junior year when we were, you know, a top 10 team in the country. We had Kato playing center, and he was 6'7", you know, so, and JT, UCLA was our power forward, and he was 6'4", you know, so, height is just when they put on the stat sheet, you know, a lot of people play bigger than who they are. And in the Big Ten, there's only a handful of guys that are dominating centers over 6'9". You know, there's plenty of outstanding talent that are playing big men. You know, like, you know, a guy like Xavier Tillman, like, yeah, he's huge, obviously, and he's great on defense, but, like, Kyle Young can guard him no problem. I mean, like, he's not like a Caleb Weston where height bothers him, you know? So we're not going to have a stereotypical 6'10 athletic center that we might have been used to or that Big Ten teams are used to. I don't foresee any huge issue with where we stand on the front line.
Which is definitely one thing I think we're going to miss. I think Caleb Weston was just – he's probably one of the most, I think, underappreciated players in history because – kind of, I know the center position before we had Caleb was kind of shaky between Amir Williams and everyone before that, other than like before we had Sullinger. I thought, you know, Caleb Weston came in and really did an awesome job at stabilizing that position.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it is very fair to say that we will miss Caleb Weston this year, absolutely.
So, Andrew's dad, Dockett, always claimed on the local radio 97.1 when he called into Carbon and Rothman. He always claimed that Justice Suing was the best player on the court in practice. How true is that? You know?
Yeah, I absolutely have heard that, and I haven't seen it. When I saw practice, they were doing – it was the court of practice where the guys who were playing, you know, the walk-ons and – guys who are redshirting and all that stuff, like they weren't in. I've heard nothing but good things about Justice. I heard that he's going to step in and be a huge contributor right away. That he is not being heralded enough. You know, I definitely heard what Pocket is saying. I heard it, and that's why I think that this team is. I mean, not only is it a good hand, but
That's also with Seth Towns too, where, you know, Seth Towns being a Northland guy, you know, I do a lot of City League football games, so I know Seth. You know, I don't know Seth Towns personally, but I know the name because I'm around the City League. And Seth Towns, what he did at Harvard was fantastic. Him coming home is really special too. So adding him and Musa Diallo, I think this team's going to be in very good hands next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, on the surface, we're losing a lot, and that's the truth. I mean, guys are leaving the NBA, they're transferring, whatever. But people don't understand that we have guys that are becoming eligible this year. You know, it's not like we went from having 14 guys to having 9 all of a sudden. Like, those spots are being filled with tons and tons of talent. So, yeah, we're good.
Now, kind of reflecting on this year, Joey, you think we should claim a national title because we won that simulation in the Washington Post?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of just, you claim whatever. If it's up for grabs, just call dibs and get it. So, yeah, not only did we win the national championship, but Caleb Austin actually was also named most outstanding player. So that's very fun stuff for the Buckeyes.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'm going to go in and just personally edit their Wikipedia page and just get that updated.
Please.
I mean, it's not the Washington Post wasn't the only simulation that had the Buckeyes winning. I mean, I saw a couple of them. And it was what's funny is they had them beating different teams. I've seen one beating Baylor. I've seen one beating Dayton. It was kind of funny. There was three of them, and the one thing they all agreed was Caleb Weston was the most outstanding player.
There you go. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in it's not fair to, you know, try and talk about how what team would have done and where and which tournament, the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament, whatever. That's not fair to do. I know we have to because we have no courts, but I think that the Bucks are capable of making a run, and that's what's so dang frustrating. I think we had a really good chance of beating for a chance in the Big Ten, and then who knows what that momentum would have gone in the tournament. So it's a bummer, but we'll get another crack at it. I'm not worried.
Absolutely. Like you said on your you guys' podcast last week or 2 weeks ago, a week or so ago, that besides Michigan State, Ohio State was playing the best basketball in the Big Ten. And a lot of my friends, we were talking about that, you know, oh, they got blown out by Michigan State, blah, blah, blah. I was like, let me tell you one thing. Ohio State was in that game for most of the game. And two, I don't know how many times I've seen it, but nobody beats Michigan State in the Breslin Center on senior day. I don't care what anybody says. That's a hard fact.
Absolutely. You're not beating one of the top five best players in Michigan State history on a senior night. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, if you're not going to beat Deshaun Tate on his senior night, then you're going to have to beat Cassius Winston, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially when they have a guy named Rocket banking in threes.
I'm sure you guys saw throughout the year, there were certain games where I would tweet out, it's one of these games. We got a guy named Silvio who went to my first half. We're not going to win this game. Just like when we went to Wisconsin and a guy with the last name Pretzel had 20 points. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. Same thing with a guy named Rocket thinking in 2 threes.
Why is that almost sometimes? Maybe it's just because I'm a delusional Ohio State fan and I have tunnel vision, but how come I always feel like our team, sometimes we just get so cold? Or is it just me?
No, I don't think it's that we get so cold. It's just that I agree with you in the fact that it seems like every other game our team is going psycho on us for no reason other than they're just going to be better than us. So I dealt with that for 4 years and I'll never understand why it happened.
Excuse me. So, CJ Walker, what's your thoughts on him and what kind of feedback do you think he'll get from the NBA?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, first of all, he's coming back. Everyone knows that. He'll be back, and which means the feedback will be positive. I mean, he'll understand, where he stands. Maybe it makes him hungrier to work even harder. Maybe he gets the feedback that's like, hey, man, improve your shooting and you're golden. I don't know what they're going to say. Obviously, it's going to be a different draft process this year. I don't know what kind of workouts he's going to be able to do. I don't know if he's going to work out in a gym with a camera and people are going to watch it from different states. I have no idea. But it'll be great for him. Let him get his name out there. Let him get more recognition. Let him get more eyeballs on him and Ohio State. I think it's great. He knows he's coming back. He knows that, he has the right to test the waters. So why not test the waters? So I'm all for it. And I really do think the whole staff is all for it. So,
absolutely.
Now, I have one last sort of hypothetical. I know we've been the hypothetical kings tonight. But if Ohio State were to play Dayton, how would you see that one playing out? Because I'm curious because I feel like, Ohio State was peaking. Dayton was obviously going to be a number one or two seed. Maybe they would have played in the tournament. They played in the simulation. But I'm just curious, who do you think would have won that?
Talk about a hypothetical where it's just like, what do you have to grab onto about this? I'll say Ohio State would have won because obviously I'm a homer, but at the same time, not many teams are playing as well as Dayton the whole year. So, and Dayton would have been, they're almost in the buzzsaw category where we could have just been running into a buzzsaw and they could have Obi Toppin they went to 28 and maybe Watson is the guy who is from Columbus who didn't go to Ohio State and he has 21, you know, so I don't know. Dayton was really damn good. I feel so bad for Dayton fans. They are missing out on a special team. But I will say that Ohio should absolutely have a tournament where not a tournament, but just like Indiana has Purdue, Notre Dame, you know, Indiana, Butler, Ohio State needs to clear up. Ohio needs to have Ohio State, Dayton, Cincinnati, and Xavier. I mean, that's just a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, they say they should have it kind of in, like, the fairgrounds. I don't think they should. Maybe not there. Maybe, like, Nationwide would be a good spot.
Yeah, or even at Dayton's arena, because Dayton's arena would be incredible. But they should have it at a neutral site, obviously.
Agreed.
The Nationwide makes sense, except for hypothetically it's a home game for Ohio State, but I don't think it's like that, you know? Mm. I think Nationwide sounds pretty darn good to me.
Maybe Quicken Loans, but that's kind of a hike for everyone.
Honestly,
Quicken Loans would probably be the best if you think about it. Even though it's a hike, that means nobody really has a fair share advantage. If like maybe if Ohio State would somehow beat Xavier that one year, or beat Cincinnati, or beat Dayton, and people would be like, "Oh, it's a home game for them, anyways," because you know how that is. I think Quicken or Rocket Mortgage Arena now, they changed it so many times.
It's the Q.
I think that would be the perfect spot.
Yeah, I disagree with you because the way it is in Indy is so perfect because every team, like Butler's 20 minutes from there, you know, so that, you know, maybe they have the smallest fan base, but they're closest. I don't know. I think if you put them in Cleveland, if you say like everyone's got a fair shot, like it might be fun to have. You know, it doesn't have to be a little lopsided, if that makes sense. But that's just me being devil's advocate.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. So, going back, freakest athlete you played with your time at Ohio State?
I think two names come to mind. I think Daniel Giddens was incredible. He could fly. I mean, he was 7 feet tall. He was a freak. Cam Williams was a freak also. That dude, I think Cam was the answer. Cam was the guy who lifted the most, ran the fastest mile, ran the fastest sprint, could jump out of the gym, could jump off 1 foot, jump off 2 feet, was the best shooter, was the best baller. I mean, he did everything. In terms of strictly strength and conditioning, weight room track, you know, he was the best. By far, like one of the best that the strength and conditioning staff had in their team. So I think that he's got to be the answer.
I love that answer. I was a big Cam Williams fan when he stepped on campus. I thought, I mean, obviously he had a really, really good career at Ohio State. I thought he was going to score though like 25 a game at one point. I was convinced of it.
Yeah, he definitely a guy that gets overlooked in terms of his ability. I mean, the dude was incredible.
Yeah, he was. I mean, the one thing that stands out to me about Cam Williams was, despite, you know, the NIT loss to Florida, just the way he himself, refreshing my memory on that year, he himself is what, like, it was early going, it was like 11-0 Florida. And he he got hot quick and, you know, you guys climbed back into it in that game, which that was a real fun game despite, you know, losing to Florida in the NIT and despite it being an NIT game. But just the way he would get hot was fantastic. And he had a great game against Gonzaga in the tournament.
Yeah, I've tried to wash that, you know, NIT game away from my memories. I'm sure he had a great game. I couldn't tell you anything about that game except for Anthony Harrison's home. Cam was the ultimate microwave guy. I mean, he got hot in a hurry. I mean, he was one of the best pure scorers I've ever seen, for sure.
As we kind of, you know, wrap up the show, I have one more question for you, Joey, and I think Cass has one more. But, you know, obviously, Luther Muhammad and DJ Carton just kind of announced, you know, yesterday that, you know, Luther's going to be going to Arizona State, Carton's going to be going to Marquette. How do you think, you know, those spots would, you know, do – how do you think they'll do in those new spots?
Yeah, I think that DJ Carton first. I think the dude just needed a fresh start. I think he'll absolutely get a fresh start there. I'm sure he'll be able to get a new activity also. So he'll be – hypothetically, he's nervous how he's looking. I don't know if he is the same – kind of players more prepared, but the dude is an incredible basketball player. So I think that he's absolutely getting the keys to the car there with Coach Bojo and stuff. So I'm really, really excited for him. And he's, you know, all things considered, it's a great move for him. And then Luther, I think, you know, Luther, I know he'll will. He wanted different things than what he was going to be given. And good for him. Get out of there. Get do whatever you need to do to set yourself for success. And I think that anyone would agree with that. I think Arizona State is awesome. There's no shortage of great guards that have come out of Arizona State. And next year he'll have to sit out most likely. And, you know, he'll be sitting out and playing defense against Josh Christopher every single day in practice, who will be a lottery pick. So I think it'll be really, really good for him. I think both those guys are going to be really successful guys. They work too hard to not be.
Yeah, both of them are huge losses. I think, obviously, Luther's a huge loss on defense. It's just going to be – I'm just shocked he didn't pick Seton Hall. I thought he was going to go to Seton Hall. I really did. But, yeah, it's interesting that Arizona State, though. I mean, Mickey Mitchell went there, too. It's funny that they get all these Buckeyes.
So we'll switch gears, you know, from your sport to the gridiron, to my sport, you know. Don't get me wrong. I love Ohio State basketball because I love Ohio State football. But, you know, I played football, so – we're going to talk about Ohio State football team. Do they make it back to the CFP? And does Justin Fields host the Heisman this year?
Yes to both, obviously. We're making the college football playoff. First round, we're the one seed. We play Oklahoma, win 42-14. Second round, we play Clemson, finally get our revenge. We win 42-38. Incredible shootout between Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Fields proved with 412 yards and 5 touchdowns that the Heisman, him winning the Heisman over Trevor Lawrence, wasn't a fluke because he led Ohio State to a 15-0 undefeated season, Big Ten record in yardage, and also overtook Dorian Haskins' touchdown record. So, congratulations, Justin Fields, on a legendary season.
Boy, bold statements coming from Joey Lane. I love it because, in my opinion, you could – Joe Burrow, great guy. You know, all Buckeye heart, LSU Tiger, you know, great season. But in my opinion, Justin Fields, even last year, I felt was the best quarterback in the nation. You come in January, you get the playbook, you learn the offense, and you have – in the regular season, you have 41 touchdowns to one turnover. I don't care what anybody says. A first-year starter, if you would have told me a first-year starting quarterback in a system, even with the athletes Ohio State has, that's insane.
Yeah, I agree. And at the same time, it's like Joe Burrow had one of the best seasons in college football history, so you can't argue with that either.
Absolutely.
As we kind of wrap up here, Joey, do you just want to plug your podcast and your Twitter handle for the fans?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Twitter at JoeySmoke14. My podcast is called Drive the Lane. You can find that on Twitter at Drive the Lane Pod. We're taking a little hiatus from posting stuff. I've started a new job in the past month, so I'm getting acclimated to that. I'm also obviously quarantine going on, not a lot of sports, so we're both just taking this time. Our plan was to, you know, take the end of April and May to kind of figure out where we were going to go moving forward, assuming that that was how best all ended, but obviously it ended a little earlier than that. But we will be back for the NFL draft, and we will be pumping out some great content. So until we release our podcast, we're very, very, very active on Twitter. So talk to us on Twitter, and then hopefully you guys get the rest of it.
Awesome. Great stuff, Joey. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great time having you on, and we wish you nothing but the best in your new job and with Drive the Lane. It's a great podcast, so, definitely check that out. But thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast.